Welcome to the Entrepreneur Bootcamp Podcast, where we provide the tools, strategies, and insights you need to build and grow your small business. I'm your host, Derek Schmidt, and today we have an inspiring guest who's making a big impact in the world of children's dance education. Joining us is Carrie Smith, the founder of Little Leaps Dance Studio. Carrie offers dance classes for children as young as 3 months up to 8 years old, blending the creative movement with developmental growth. From ballet and tap to jazz and musical theater, her programs are designed to support early childhood development through the powerful connection of music and movement. In this episode, Carrie will share her journey of starting and growing Little Leaps, her effective marketing strategies, and the challenges she's faced along the way. So whether you're a parent looking for enriching activities for your child or an entrepreneur seeking actionable marketing insights, this episode is hoped to be packed with valuable information. So without further ado, let's dive in and learn from Carrie Smith's experience and expertise. Did you know that over a million new businesses launch each year, yet nearly 40% fail in their first year and 80% within five? I'm Derek Schmidt, and I don't want you to become another statistic. That's why I started the Entrepreneur Bootcamp Podcast. I'm going to use real-world experience and straightforward advice to help you navigate through the rough waters of entrepreneurship. Whether you're drafting your first business plan or aiming for new heights, this is your toolkit for however you define success. Let's dive in. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess to get started, can you tell us a little bit more about Little Leaps Dance Studio and what inspired you to start the business?
So in 2022, I decided I was ready to exit my dance studio in Connecticut and move down to Wilmington to be closer to family here. So I had the opportunity to sell my dance studio that I'd had for almost 20 years. And then I thought, what am I going to do with myself? Because I'm not quite old enough for retirement yet. And I started planning and looking at different opportunities. And I realized that what I really wanted to do was to continue my dance journey, but specializing in the area of dance that I truly found joy in and loved as an educator, which is the early childhood space. So I came up with the concept of Little Leaps, started working on it well before I even moved to Wilmington, had the branding done and social media started. And then I moved here just about a year ago in the summer of 2023 and got my feet on the ground and started figuring out where I could teach classes, who would come to these classes, how would I reach them. It's been an adventure, but a really great invigorating as an entrepreneur. It was just what I needed to invigorate my spirit as a business owner and as a teacher.
So, yeah, that's great. Little Leaps, I love that name, by the way, because when I was looking at how do you name a business, this was like 13 years ago, but when I was looking at how you name a business, supposedly your business name should say like what you do, right? And yours is a lot better than mine. From when I started, Design Loud was like, I think I used like a word generator or something. I did graphic design at the time, and then Loud was just something that I came through with like different adjectives to describe, our designs, our business, and I threw the two together. But Little Leaps, I think, is an excellent name that summarizes what you do without anybody really having to learn more about the business.
Thank you. I like it. Yeah. I like my little frog. I love my logo. So it really feels that the essence of the business is bright, happy, fun, child-centric, and it was really important to me to find a name and branding that reflected that. And you see, I wear a lot of green because I am Little Leaps, it's a frog. Yeah. So I've embraced green as my color.
Yeah, I love the color palette on the website too. You can definitely see that reflected on the website. And I'm a big music buff. I was a musician since like third grade, and I was actually going to school to be a music teacher before starting the business. But I know the power of that music, and that I'm going to sound really lame here, but the power that music has on the developmental brain, and also as just like an outlet and stuff. And so while I don't have, well, I'll take that back. I think I could dance very well. My wife, however, claims that I lack some rhythm in that department, but I think it's extremely important to, teach these kids these skills at such a young age. And we were talking before the show, but I've got four, and I think that the first, correct me if I'm wrong, like 6 years of their life is like when they learn the most stuff in their brain is really just kind of firing on all cylinders.
Yes, it's the 0 to 5 is the critical time, and the connection of music and movement with development is huge. I've actually connected a lot with the Smart Start organization here, and they're really they really align with what I do through dance, and they're focused on reading and helping educators in the community and parents. And the 0 to 5 is huge. That's a big deal, and people think, oh, babies can't dance. Well, babies are moving and grooving before they're even walking. So children respond to music in the womb. I mean, this is, it's important, and what there are studies that show that kids excel in math, especially math, if they have musical education early on. And there's lots of different studies about it. I'm not a researcher. Yeah. I'm a dance enthusiast and a dance educator and a early childhood dance specialist. But I have seen, you know, how kids respond, and I can have the shyest kid who doesn't want to, you know, come out of mama's arms, and a certain song plays in class, and they just start, you know, doing their thing. And that's our tagline, where tiny feet find their beat, is really the focus of Little Leaps, is that every child is unique. And even though you might not think that, your wife might not think that you can dance, you can dance. It's just your own beat. And everybody's got their own moves and their own unique rhythm and their own unique style. And part of my mission is helping children find that, embrace it, and build confidence by knowing that their beat is just as awesome as everybody else's.
Yeah, that's why I think I dance so good to Thriller. I tried to get my wife to do it at our wedding, but it's because my mom used to play Michael Jackson when she was carrying me. But my wife knows a lot of random facts. She actually told me, for Alzheimer's, I believe, like, you can help bring somebody back with, like, back into their mental state with music. You know, like, if you play a song, then you see these videos that are going viral now. Like, you know, I saw one, it was a son walking with his mother, and, you know, she was having trouble remembering who he was, and he started, like, humming or singing a song that they, you know, had shared when he was younger, and she immediately, like, snapped back. And it was one of those where you watch it and you just get teary-eyed because, she remembers. She's like, so what are some key milestones that you've achieved since starting Little Leaps?
Well, the biggest one that I achieved recently is that I have finally, after a long search and a lot of negotiating, found an actual home for my studio. So I'm excited about that, but we have a little bit of a timeline of upfit. So we hope to open in the fall. That's the hope. But prior to that, not having my own physical studio space, the biggest challenge was trying to find a place to have dance class. And it's hot outside here in Wilmington in the summer. It's not, you know, you can't just pop up in a park. Everybody will be, you know, sweating. It's no fun. So one of the biggest milestones and one of the best decisions I ever made, for several reasons, personal and professional, was I started volunteering at the Fit for Fun Center, which is a children and parent caregiver activity space that's run by the City of Wilmington. And it's a wonderful resource in this community. And just, and it's $5 or it's free for some, for folks who have a museum for EBT. It's just, it's such a great value. It's beautiful indoor play space, toys, baby center, art area, outdoor playground. So I started volunteering there in August when I had first moved here, because I was looking for ways to connect in the community, and I found children, which I love, and a volunteer opportunity. And at first I was just cutting out shapes and helping out and doing whatever they need, you know, cleaning things. And then as I got to know the staff there more and they found out more about me and my background in dance, we started having pop-up classes there weekly. Which have been wonderful, and the staff there is incredible. So the personal benefit of that has been that I've made some friendships there, which was great as a newcomer to town to meet some folks and have some personal connections. But they've been amazing supporters of Little Leaps. And I mean, I have classes that have 14, 15 kids every Tuesday morning there. It's still free. It's not, I'm not charging for it, but it's a wonderful lead generator. It's a wonderful way for me to get out in the community and for them to see what I do in action. Because when you do something like this, a picture on a website doesn't tell you what that class experience is for your child. You need to see it and live it, right?
So
that, I mean, I don't know if that's a milestone. I mean, but it was sort of getting in the door at the Fit for Fun Center and having them invite me to teach there weekly has been huge.
I felt my chest kind of fill up with air because it was extremely inspiring and heartwarming, because it started from a place of just volunteer and not really expecting anything out of it, and grew to now this community is helping you, and you know, you're getting all this recognition with parents and children, and then that eventually, you call it Dharma or Karma or, you know, giver's game, whatever you want to call it, but through paying it forward, now you're getting into a space, and it's just, I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah, it's really, really incredible. And one other milestone I'll just mention is I did, because of Little Leaps, I decided I'd do a leap year promo, because this was a leap year.
Nice wordplay.
And I thought, nobody's going to do this. These people aren't going to buy something. They don't know who I am. Yeah. And I had built an email list at an event, and I sent out a get a six class pass for, you know, some ridiculously low price. I can't remember. I think it was like $29 or 20 maybe, because of leap year, that's what it was. Yeah. And I texted my friend saying, nobody's buying. And then all of a sudden I like woke up the next day and I had sold 10 of these passes. Wow. My goal had been just to sell 5.
Wow.
And I know this sounds like a tiny little thing, but as a new brand new business owner, some of these people, I didn't even know who they were. I'm like, who is this? I've never met them. They were on my email list and they saw a deal and they grabbed it and they came to classes. And so that was a big milestone for me, and kind of in a valley of like, ooh, I'm not sure where I'm going. I can't find a space to have some buy-in from customers that people wanted what I was selling was huge.
Yeah, that's smart. So you kind of pre-sold before you even had anything to execute on.
Yeah.
You see that a lot with, I guess, software, because I've got more of the software background, but that's a common way to go about it, is you pre-sell, you know, licenses, subscriptions, whatever, before you build out the actual product to prove, I guess, proof of concept.
Yeah.
So how have you seen your programs impact the development of the children who participate?
I mean, it's just, every child is so unique. So I don't have a broad answer to this. But some of the positive outcomes that I see are, you know, kids who are, which I already mentioned before, the shyest ones who do not want to like leave their parent, gain the confidence to walk across a room and share a toy with another child, or even just engage with them. You know, in the, a lot of my students are not quite verbal yet. They're toddlers. They're, you know, 14, 15 months old. So just to see them kind of have those moments where they walk up to another toddler and just like, you know, touch them, like, who are you? And just seeing those early sort of developing friendships, how do I communicate with other tiny humans, are amazing. And as a teacher, I mean, I've been teaching for over 25 years, so I've had experiences where I've had children who just don't do anything in class and they just stand there. And then they go home and apparently they do everything. And their parent says, I'm going to keep bringing her back because she's taking it all in and she's doing all the dances at home. And I mean, this is one particular student I'm thinking of, this young lady, Grace. And I mean, a whole year, this 2-year-old just stood on her dot and watched the class. And then just one day, right before recital time, she just started doing everything. She came into class and did the whole class and like participated, engaging, and she just needed that time to take it all in. And everybody has to learn in their own way. So those moments are the really magical ones for me are seeing those kids who have a specific hurdle or struggle that they're facing. And I like to give them the space to get there. I think oftentimes in our society, we're just pushing to achieve things faster. And is my parents worried, is their child normal? Is their child going to be successful if they don't hit this certain milestone? And often we just need to sit back and let them find their way there. And that's part of my teaching philosophy. Yeah. I mean, it just really can't, it's not stay here and hold the bar and follow my directions. And, you know, we really have a program that's based in the idea that exploration and discovery and play is the most important way that children learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so just harnessing that in a classroom environment is really impactful, especially for children who do not respond well to stand here and follow all the directions and listen to everything I say and don't talk back, because that's just not how kids are.
No,
it's not realistic.
I'm glad we're at a time now where that's being recognized. I remember early in elementary school, I was labeled with ADHD because I was just hyperactive. I couldn't sit still. No. I could retain information, especially what I later came to find out. It's like, if I'm actually interested in the topic, like I will take up as much information about it before like jumping head first. But I learned basically my learning style. And yes. Because I was able to recognize how I learn information and retain it, it's helped me with learning new things and picking up new hobbies or responsibilities. But I think that's extremely important. And that basically as a adult, now I have learned that those guidelines or rules are not applicable to everybody. And it's okay to kind of, as you said at the beginning, march to your own beat.
Yeah.
And it's okay if somebody's not walking by this age or talking by this age, or you don't start a business till this age, or whatever that looks like for you. We're all kind of fed this narrative at the beginning, and it doesn't. It's not like that.
No, and I think that, you know, we say a lot in my, more than just, I have a community of dance studios that I'm a member of, and we often say dance lessons teach life lessons. And mm-hmm. I think people think about sports a lot, like teamwork, and this dance is teaching those same lessons. Yeah. I mean, I've seen, you know, my kids who were at my former studio that, you know, went on through graduation onto successful college lives. A lot of them come back to me and say, you know, what I learned in dance class mm-hmm. about time management, cooperation, teamwork, setting goals, and like working for them are huge. Yeah. I mean, it's dance is an art, but it also encompasses a lot of the elements of the sport yeah. in terms of the educational value and the social skills and life skills value that it brings to children.
Exactly, life skills.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that you use social media and email marketing, Google Ads a little bit before the show started, but can you share which specific strategies that you've tried that may have worked best for you? I know you just talked about email marketing with the pre-sale.
Yeah, so the email marketing, I think sometimes I say, forget about it, it's not effective, nobody's opening my emails, but then I had a success. One of the things I'm finding that's been really impactful with my email marketing is that I'm really trying to personalize them. I found an add-on to Google Sheets called, it's like Gmail with Mail Merge or something. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And so it's a great inexpensive tool for entrepreneurs. I think it's $39 for a year. And it allows me to, and you can also add attachments. It's Mail Merge with attachments is what it called. Anyway, so it's really, that's been a great tool for me because it really allows me to personalize an email even more than I can in Wix or Constant Contact or some of those, you know, sometimes I want to send out the slick, fancy header email, but sometimes I just want the email that says, "Hi, this is Miss Carrie. You know, we miss Susie at dance class, or we're going to see you at on Tuesday at 5 p.m. and yeah. really fill in those, you know, all of that stuff and send a personal email. I sent something like that recently. I have a class out in Carolina Beach, and I had been having some low enrollment, and this past week I sent one of those emails out to people who had all attended in the past, and I got two replies. Wow, people actually replied to this email. That's a win for me. So email marketing, I think the more I can personalize it, especially talking to my clients who are parents with children and being able to name them and name their children in the email makes it more, you know, I'm going to open this. What is this about? Mm-hmm. Google Ads is, I was telling you before our conversation here that I've been trying to learn how to do them better. I had been using the Smart Campaigns, and then I watched one of your webinars and thought, oh, I'm doing this all wrong. I better try to, I'm gonna listen to Derek and try his method. So I am working on that. It's a work in progress. So thank you for providing that resource because I do appreciate it. I had no idea that there was anything other than just, okay, Google, you said I should do this. Let me hit the easy button and let them spend my money.
Yeah.
And I actually don't really understand how I'm getting the ROI on it. Mm-hmm. So that's something I really do need more help with and education about. The in-person marketing, like I've already mentioned, at Fit for Fun, at events. So I've been really leaning into collaboration and community connections. So I did a class for the Fit for Mom group, who are a mom's workout stroller strides group here in town. Yeah. And there's the Fit for Fun. I've been doing some community events, the YMCA Healthy Kids Day. So I've really been less digital marketing than more feet on the ground, you know, out in the community marketing. And then just trying to back it up with some emails and really keeping my social media going every day. I post every day on Instagram and Facebook. There's something. There's something every day.
Is there a reason why you chose Facebook and Instagram?
Because I'm scared of TikTok.
I can relate to that.
I know. My husband's really into TikTok, and I'm like, I don't even have it on my phone. I don't know what to do with it. So Facebook, I chose. I'm familiar with it, right? Mm-hmm. Comfort level there. Also, there's a lot of community moms groups. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of my clients are living, is on Facebook and Instagram. It is interesting for me to see the followers who I'm starting to kind of see who they are and know them, like, that's, you know, Sue's mom, you know, Jane, and mom, you know, Betty, that this one lives on Instagram and this one lives on Facebook. So I'm starting to kind of see who I'm talking to a little bit better. But Facebook just seems to be where the most people are for my type of business.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a physical location, I wasn't able to set up a Google My Business account because of the Maps requirement.
Yeah.
I tried to get around it, and they banned me. Oh, I gave up for now. I'll go back once I have my location. So I thought, without Google, where do people go for reviews? So Facebook, I really, really intentionally got some reviews early on to try to really beef that up and make sure that there was a place that people could find, like, is this legitimate?
Yeah. And those Facebook reviews, I believe, when you do get your Google My Business page set up, they're aggregated. So they'll pull in the reviews from Facebook, and they'll say, like, you know, 5 out of 5 stars based on Google and Facebook, or based on social platforms.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Okay. And I would agree with you. I think Facebook, Instagram is probably where your target audience is, just knowing what I know about your business and Wilmington. And I definitely think the value is the in-person. And then when they take interest from meeting you in person, they go check you out online, and they see some of the stuff that you've been posting, and that you've got a presence, basically. So I think you're doing a great thing there with the starting with the in-person networking and then moving into the digital side, just keeping a presence there. Google Ads is a love-hate relationship. I mean, it's like, you know, that's how they make their money. And so it's designed too easy for people who are not familiar with Google Ads to get in and launch a campaign and not really have the right things set up to track the return on investment. And so they're just dropping, in my case, like, I had done this early on, and it was like $500 a month. And as a small business, like, especially at that stage, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
To just kind of watch go into thin air. Smart campaigns can be effective. It is definitely inexpensive, but you do want to make sure you've got some sort of tracking on the calls or the form fills that come from that. And basically, for anybody who's listening that's not familiar with Google Ads Smart Campaigns, in comparison to the regular campaigns, Smart Campaigns is basically a watered-down version of Google Ads, where instead of having specific keywords that you want to target, and especially like the different kind of match types, like broad match, exact match, phrase match, etc., you have what Google Smart Campaigns called keyword themes. And so for my business, it would be like website design would be a theme, and any keyword that Google recommends or has that falls under that website design will trigger my ad to be shown. And I can do that. I think you can have like maybe 3 to 5 keyword themes or keyword buckets. The problem with that is that you become reactive on some of the keywords that are triggering your ad. So somebody who might search for a website design job will see my ad. I've paid for that. And I won't know that until after the fact. So you have to, with Smart Campaigns, continue going to the keyword themes and look for what keywords your ad has shown for and start adding them as negatives.
I've been doing that, so good. I was doing something right.
But it's a really easy and extensive way to get going with Google Ads in all of the Google ecosystem. For whatever value that's worth.
Well, I think just to it does help, and for me, it's raised some awareness of I have a website out here. How do I drive some traffic to it, not just through Facebook? And I mean, I have seen subscriber upticks on my website, and so I do. I mean, I have a minimal; it's like $2 a day budget. I'm not spending a ton on it. I have been tweaking it and playing with it. One of the things that always weirds me out is that some days it'll be like, you have 2,000 impressions and 20 clicks. And then the next day it's 7 impressions. And like, and the sort of up and down of the performance makes me think I'm not doing it right. And that's part of the reason I want to try to delve into maybe trying to do my own Google ad campaign and see, you know, see that how that performs relative to what I've been doing for the last couple months with the smart campaign.
Yeah. You have a lot more control over the standard Google ads campaigns because you can be laser focused on what keywords trigger your ads, and then you can adjust like your daily budget and your ad creative. And now they're launching, or they have launched, based on the recent marketing keynote, the Google like AI part of Google Ads, so making it easier to kind of come up with the ad creative and the headlines and text and stuff. But I mean, Google Ads in that capacity, it's an auction network. So what I generally suggest with anybody who's starting or doing their Google Ads is everybody's probably going for the bullseye. And again, I'll relate this to, well, I can relate it to your business. You know, Dance Studio, Wilmington, NC, and that's probably, I'm guesstimating here, but let's say it's $20 a click, right? Each time somebody clicks on your ad, you're charged that $20 or whatever that cost per click is. So instead of focusing directly on the bullseye, I always encourage people to go for more of the long tail keywords. So this would be like toddler dance studios, right? Or infant and toddler dance studios in Wilmington, NC. And that might be like $1, $2 a click, much cheaper than the one in the bullseye. And basically with every keyword, I always suggest people never use the broad match keyword unless you're doing research, because that basically, anything that's similar to that keyword, it will trigger your ad. I always say start with a phrase match and an exact match version of that. Your videos on the community, I can help guide you through if you have any questions.
If you set your radius, your Wilmington, do you recommend putting Wilmington in your keyword, like Toddler Dance Studio in Wilmington?
You don't have to.
I'm just curious.
Some people will type that in Wilmington, and you'll find that, so with the radius selected and then just putting Dance Studio as the keyword, that may be $10 cost per click. Yeah. Whereas even with the radius, you put Dance Studio in Wilmington or in Wilmington NC, might be $3 a click, right?
Okay.
So me, like, even though my location services are turned on in Google, when I'm doing a search, I still usually always put Wilmington NC, habit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go near me and try to, I'll notice at the bottom when I'm on my mobile device, depending on the whose internet I'm connected to. If you go to Google and scroll to the bottom, if you're logged in, it'll say your location is, well, my location says Raleigh, even though I'm in Wilmington. So that's why sometimes I'll still put the city.
Interesting. Okay. So much to learn.
Yeah. I'm still continuing to learn. That's what I love about this industry. Yeah. It just continues to change. What about SEO? Can you elaborate on any challenges you've had with SEO? Have you tried anything regarding SEO?
I have. So actually recently I've been diving in. You caught me out on it. You reviewed my website and you were like, I think you're doing this for SEO. So
yeah,
I had done a lot of like in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I have been utilizing ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
I actually upgraded to the paid version because of it just, it had some, a couple, like a month ago, because it just had such great functionality. And, and as a solopreneur at this point with my business, the time savings have been amazing to get things written and tweak them and all that stuff. So I dove into, I had been to a recent training in February where we talked up a little bit about meta descriptions, and I realized that I hadn't done anything with meta descriptions at all. I have a Wix website that I've built myself right now. So I started there back in March or February, just getting meta descriptions that I use ChatGPT to help me with them, to get me off the bump, you know, just kind of get it going.
Yeah.
Then I dove a little deeper into really trying to get the keywords in the more keywords on my website. I realized that the text was saying what I thought I wanted it to say, but it wasn't necessarily saying what Google was grabbing. I started to get a little more understanding about how it worked, and really leaned into the H1 headers and making sure that I had those set. I've been using an app called AMRAP. It does a crawl of my website, a free crawl, a crawl once a week, and gives me a report on, like, this is where your SEO could get better here. And some of the things I have no idea what they are, and I just ignore it because I'm like, this is beyond me. But I've been trying to use some more tools, and I do think that I am getting, you know, a little bit more. The Google ad is seeing better results, but here's where my problem is. I'm not measuring just one thing. Yeah. I'm making changes to the Google ad, and I'm making changes to my SEO at the same time. So I actually don't know which one is making the impact, or maybe they both are. I don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had a meeting yesterday with a very well-established client, a lead, and they are spending like $15,000 a month on their marketing, but they came in and they're like, we have no idea what to attribute, you know, these leads from. Like, who do we give credit to? And Google Analytics is probably the easiest way to get this set up if you have Google Analytics, because then you can create a report. And maybe this is a good topic for a video that I could do.
Yeah.
But you can create a report that tells you, based on what you're tracking as goals, like signing up for the newsletter, filling out the contact form, clicking the phone number on the website, whatever you have set up as goals, you can see where that traffic came from. So you can tell, like, okay, I had 30 conversions, 30 goal events that happened through social media, and I had 150 that happened through search. Well, then I know, like, search engine optimization and social media should be the two primary areas that I'm focusing on, because they drive the most growth. But Google Analytics is the easy answer to that, and setting up what's called events. And that's probably a good idea for a video that I could do.
It's a great idea for a video. And I don't know what prompted me to open it up yesterday, but maybe you mentioned it in the video that I was watching. But I clicked on the Google Analytics for the first time ever since starting my little Leaps domain and all that, and was like, oh, I need to look at this. And I didn't have time to really dive into it. And I would love to have some guidance on that. So that would be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that software that you signed up for, I found that there's value in taking the recommendations that those different softwares, SEO or whatever softwares, give you, and just throw those in ChatGPT in that same thread and just be like, give me instructions on how I can do this on Wix. You know, it'll give you like a step-by-step instruction. Like, ChatGPT is crazy. AI is crazy. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday, I spent pretty much all day programming a custom development for a client site that I was trying to help my team with by taking it off their plate. And I realized probably midway through the day, like, let me try to run this through ChatGPT and tell it what I wanted to do. And it literally created the code for me and helped me troubleshoot. And I'm like, well, I needed to do this. Check this variable. This is returning it. And like, it helped me pretty much program this plugin that could have taken all day to do. So
it's amazing. It's amazing. And again, for solopreneurs like me without a team, it's just huge. It's just been a game changer. When I think about all the time I would spend doing some of the things that I'm doing, it's worth the investment, I would say, in the paid version for sure too. That was a big change too. And I have it connected with Canva as well. There's a plugin too, which has been great to kind of help get me going. You know, creating social media content for every day is a lot. And that really gives me some inspiration. And I'm still having to hands-on, you know, do the work, but it at least gets the ball rolling when you feel like your ideas have run out and you can't think of anything else. It really is, it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So as a new business, without a fixed location here in town, what are some innovative ways that you try to increase the visibility and reach more customers that you haven't already talked about?
So I've done a ton of networking. So I've really just gone to a lot of business networking groups and events in the area. And Wilmington is amazing for that. There are so many groups. So that's been a really wonderful way for me to just meet other people, other business owners, other people in the business community here, and get my name out there. Just even if they don't have kids or they aren't looking for dance classes, somehow Little Leaps will be in their brain. Oh, we met that woman. Mm-hmm. So that was huge. That's been something that I've been really actively doing since we first moved here. I mentioned the YMCA Kids Day, the Smart Start Festival as well. That was great. That was a great lead generator. So I've really been looking for any events where I can gather leads. So whether if that is a family fest, anything like that, where I can set up a table and have a raffle or have a game or something where I'm collecting email addresses. That's the way that I've built my list, because I had zero and now I'm almost 200, which for me is huge.
Nice.
Which is great, and primarily looking for those family event things. I do have a space that I rent, and I've been really trying to foster that relationship with the woman who owns that business. It's Diva Dance Port City, and hopefully, like, getting my name out. It's a woman's fitness program, yeah. So it's a great space for me to be in. Mm-hmm. They have classes in the evening. I rent the space in the daytime to have some classes there. And then just also really connecting with the Parks and Rec, because of what I do.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec, kids, so Carolina Beach Parks and Rec, I do a class there. And like I've already mentioned, Wilmington. But I found that the city and like community, they get more play on Facebook. Like, they get the word out about things.
Yeah.
They have a bigger audience. They have more subscribers. Their newsletters have more people. So if I can get mentioned in their email marketing and on their Facebook, I really am reaching more people. So really, collaborations have been huge for me, and cultivating those relationships so that word keeps getting out.
Yeah, leveraging your strategic partners.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned struggling with the social media algorithm. Have you experimented with any specific tactics to improve your engagement and your reach?
I've been really trying to do more reels, so more video, because I've been told by the experts like you that video is king right now, and those like 30-second snippets, those little things. I've also been trying to kind of trick Facebook a little bit by, even if I just have a graphic, I'm animating it in Canva, so even if it's just a 5-second video that hopefully, the picture's zooming in on it. The reels take a little bit of time. I'm not the fastest with them, and I'm super particular about how I like things to look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hardcore on, like, it has to look good, it has to be a quality photo, and I want, smiling, happy children in it, because obviously that's what I'm marketing, is a wonderful experience for your kids. So if there's somebody in the background frowning or crying, gotta edit that out. So it takes a little time. But the reels and the videos have been big. Just this week, I've been adding more stories. I've been really kind of not into stories. I don't know why. I feel like because I don't have a lot of control over how I can edit them unless I pre-make the story.
Yeah.
And so I've been really just trying to, in the moment, be like, hey, this is going to disappear in 24 hours. It's cute. Don't stress about it, Carrie. Just put it out there. And just posting as much as possible. I mean, that's the thing. Like I said, I post every day. I pre-schedule things, but then if I see a community event, I will share it on my page. And tagging, again, this is the partnerships, trying to tag the City of Wilmington or the Smart Start or whoever's event it is, so that hopefully there'll be some reciprocal sharing that I'm out there. So I've really been trying to keep my eye on what's happening in the community that would have value to the people that follow my page, and sharing that as well. So not just promotional content.
Yeah. I give you a lot of credit. It sounds like you're very good and keen on the guerrilla marketing side of it,
Trying.
Yeah, which is what it takes, whatever we can do.
Yeah. Well, that's high praise. So good. I'm doing something right.
So given your upcoming grand opening, what are some strategies you're considering to maximize the marketing impact there?
That's a tough one. So, I really had a great, we signed a lease, reel, got tons of play, lots of shares, lots of excitement. And that was about a month ago. And now I'm kind of like, oh, shoot, I'm losing this momentum. I need to kind of ramp it up. But I actually don't know when I'm going to be able to open yet. So I've got to really think about some, this is actually a great prompt for me to go away from this conversation and sit down and brainstorm on this. Mm-hmm. I've got to think about how I can keep the hype going. And on social media, I have already talked to my friends at the Fit for Fun Center about how we can, you know, cultivate some sort of excitement there about my opening, although of course it's a city run, you know, I'm not trying to mix the public and the private too much, but I have friends there who will come and support me, and hopefully they'll help get the word out there. I'm really, really leveraging the networking connections I've made to hopefully bring in a nice crowd for a grand opening, and have a, you know, ribbon cutting and all of that. And I've recently, one of my hype things, this is not a digital marketing thing, but I had one of my clients said, we need some, right, it was right after I had announced that I signed this lease. She said in the middle of class one day, she said, we need some Little Leap swag. And I thought, yeah. Oh, shoot, she's right. So I spent a couple $100 on some t-shirts for toddlers and for moms. Yeah. And in my class just 2 weeks ago, at the end of class, I said, hey, over there, go pick out a t-shirt for your little one and one for yourself and head out into the world with your big Little Leaps logo on your shirt and with your little one wearing it too, and help spread the word for me. So I'm really, again, continuing to do the on the ground in-person connections and hoping that those people that have been with me are going to help me continue to spread the word. That mom network is big.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me. I know. I've had
nothing against the dads, but the mom.
No, I totally get it. I know. My wife was also a doula, so she was very involved with the early motherhood and childhood.
Yeah.
So I had several ideas as you were speaking, and that is like, okay, so to keep the momentum, like, first off, I would say, you know, having some sort of a landing page you can drive people to sign up for updates, to stay updated. And then in terms of like keeping the momentum, like you could have a contest with the moms and the children on like the best photo op rocking the Little Leaps, you know, apparel, and the winner gets some prize that you have, right?
I love that idea.
As you're leading up, and I don't know when you actually move into your space, but as you're leading up, maybe once a month you arrange some little micro event where it's like a meet and greet, some of the other parents, some of the other kids, some of the instructors, where like they can get familiar with each other in a play setting. Maybe it's at Fit for Fun, it's cross promotion.
That's a great idea.
And you can kind of keep them engaged and coming out and learning. So when you do get in that space, everybody's a little familiar with each other. It might be an easier transition for you. The actual grand opening, I've seen success with, again, having that landing page. And it's a page that's just very specific. Hey, we've got a new location. We're opening sometime in the fall. Sign up to the email list to get updates on the new location and exclusive promotions, discounts as we launch, you know, this campaign, this Big Leap campaign, right?
Yeah.
You get people signed up, and then you're dripping the content out to them through emails on like the updates and everything. But then leading up to the event, so you have people RSVP to the event, so you get a head count of like how many people you can expect, and then have like some bounce houses. I mean, this would go after your ribbon cutting probably, but some food, some bounce houses, maybe there's a really great, I know there's probably more musicians that are focused in like kid-friendly music, especially in the early stage of it. I can ask my wife his name, but
Mr. Scooter.
Probably
Mr. Scooter.
Yeah, that's probably who it is.
I'm sure it's Mr. Scooter. He's amazing.
Yeah. And so, and just having this little event that you can have, and you invite the general public to, and people can cross promote. And the only other thing that I was going to suggest was you may want to inexpensively put some money towards like Facebook ads to promote this landing page and RSVP for the grand opening, which is what we had done. And then create contests. You know, online, like, hey, we mentioned the photo contest, but maybe it's like, hey, like and share a mother, you know, a child who you think would like to participate in Little Leaps. And again, the winner gets maybe 6 free classes. You know, you can think of it in ways of things that don't necessarily cost you money.
Yeah. So all great idea. I'm going to have to watch the podcast back to take notes about that. Those are fantastic ideas. Thank you. Yeah. I think I'm in a limbo space. So my brain hasn't moved to I'm going to have to open because it's still an empty shell. But we're getting there. So,
I think I've seen a lot of success in various industries, but similar with that. And that'll help with your engagement, getting likes and followers. And make sure you ask if you do that contest for 6 classes or $50, $100 Amazon gift card or dinner. Maybe it's a mom and dad dinner that you pay for at a restaurant that you support. And there's a little cross promotion
there. That's a great idea too, yeah.
But ask them for the like and the share and the follow and,
Do you recommend a landing page that is not actually attached to the rest of your website?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, in my experience, when you can have a landing page that is very specific to that goal or that action, it is going to convert, generally, from what I've seen, a lot higher than having it as part of, your main website or even a section on, your homepage or something. When it's just, there's no other links there to distract them, so I can't go to this landing page and then click about us and classes and pricing, and then I'm like, oh, never mind.
So there's nowhere to go from there. You just fill out this form.
It's your logo, it's the form, it's what they can expect, and then that's basically it. Mm-hmm. Less is more when it comes to landing pages.
Okay.
Think of it in terms of somebody who would be filling this out. I always say the less fields you want, the better. So name, email, basically. You can always get more info from them later. But name, email, and I'm envisioning kind of logos at the top of the landing page centered to the left. Column, you've got this is what they can expect and why they want to sign up, and then the right column is the actual form itself to subscribe.
Okay,
get
started on that.
Yeah, it excites me.
Yeah, I already have the form, but it's on my website and it's not even top of the fold. I just need to pull that out. So that's great.
How do you ensure that your classes meet the unique needs of your target audience?
Well, through ongoing training. So I'm a big believer in continuing professional development for myself and for any teachers that I might hire in the future. Even 25 years into this, I find great value in continuing to train and learn how to better meet the needs of my kids and my students. I think of them as my kids sometimes. The time after the pandemic has really changed kids, I think. Whether they were born after the pandemic or they were just infants then, I've really seen a shift in just behavior and attention. It might be screens. It might, who knows? It might be in isolations. I don't know. But there's, as educators, I hear this all the time in the dance community and the educator community, that kids are having different needs. And we need to keep training to learn how to meet them. The old ways might not be the ways of the best way to meet their needs. That's number one for me, is to be sure that I am equipping myself to best serve my students and not just say, this is the way I do it and sorry if you don't like it, because that's not the way to connect with a child. Instead, I have a friend who always says, when a child is upset, you don't push them away, you bring them closer. Yeah. You find out, it's this Maslow's hierarchy. What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you need to use the potty? Those are the first things. What are the basic needs? Are we cold? Yeah. And then we can start talking about why aren't you participating in class? Why are you, why are you not, being a part of the group here? What's going on? So, for me, that's really important, and it's not just about dance education, it's about child education, learning more. So I'm always taking every opportunity for that. And I really listen to my clients. I just did a feedback survey because even though it's just me, even though sometimes it's hard to open up the results and go, oh no, what did they say about me?
Yeah.
It's important. We all need to get feedback. And I think as a solopreneur, you can live in a bubble. Mm-hmm. And I'm up in front a little bit. Feels like you're on a stage sometimes when you're the teacher leading the class. And my perception of what's going on might not be what the parents are seeing. So I really do need to hear from them, what their experience is, and help inform where I go next. You know, how mm-hmm. how do I adjust the lesson plan a little differently if this wasn't hitting the right marks with them? So yeah. It's really interactive for me with the parents right now, because mostly I'm teaching parent and child classes. So I'm getting a lot of that because the parents are in the room with us. But as the kids get older into those older children classes, you know, I ask them, did you like this?
Yeah.
Did you have fun? Why didn't you like it? I mean, as they kids can express themselves, and as teachers, we should listen to them.
Yeah, you know? Agreed. So. What role does word of mouth play in your marketing strategy? You've kind of touched on this a little bit, but how do you encourage and leverage it?
Well, first of all, I think it's the number one marketing strategy I have right now. I told you about the t-shirts. That was a big, big one. I think that'll encourage word of mouth. I have not instituted this yet in this business. In the past, in my past business, we did have a referral credit. So if anybody would sign up, you know, Susie recommended me, I'm signing my child up for class, everybody gets a credit. The referrer gets mm-hmm. a credit, and the referee.
Yeah,
both families get an account credit, a tuition credit. I fully plan to implement something like that moving forward. And I actually have done, I mentioned my leap year class pass that mm-hmm. I sold. I had a referral bonus in there, and only one family, I think, took advantage of it, but it was great. One family did, where if they referred another family to buy a pass, they got two more free classes. So they bought the six class pass, and then, you know, Mom Kelly signed up and said that Mom Melissa recommended her, and so Mom Melissa got two more classes. So she ended up with eight classes total for the price of a song.
Yeah.
So I really encourage word of mouth by giving value to the client, you know, whether that's a gift card or even just a shout out. I mean, I see moms recommend Little Leaps in a mom's group on social media. Mm-hmm. I'll thank them there publicly, and I'll thank them in person when I see them too. Like always, I mean, always show appreciation for that and cultivate those relationships, because that's advertising. Like it's priceless. You can't, there's no price put on a satisfied customer telling mm-hmm. another person how great their experience
is. Yeah, they become like your sales reps.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to pay them.
And they also ask for testimonials. I think that's another thing. You mentioned when you reviewed my website that there were no testimonials, and I promptly reached out to the people and said, anybody want to give me a testimonial? I find that the best way to do that is when somebody sends me a compliment, like we had a great class today, and I say, hey, if you had a wonderful experience, it would be so amazing if you wouldn't mind sharing a testimonial. You know, can I share this? Maybe if they've already written it, do you mind if I share this? And usually people will say yes. Yeah. And if I say, you know, even I like to give a name, not just mom.
Yeah.
So if I can just share with their first name and last initial, even to give it some credibility. Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, oh, put my full name out there. We love it. We want you to do, you know, succeed. We want to be a part of your programs, and we want more people to come to them. So.
Yeah, I think you're also doing a really good job on the follow-up part, the bottom of the funnel, which I think is where a lot of people kind of get stuck, because they like go through the process of getting this person, convince them to work with them, finally make the sale, but then it's like the follow-up. It's not to say people have trouble keeping the client or keeping the relationship, but it's like, how do you put that to work for you? There's a really good book I often refer out. It's called Raving Fans, but it talks about that. It's like your customers can essentially become your best sales force, right? And that's, you know, who else do you know that this service can help or this product can help? Leaving testimonials, it's creating loyalty programs, it's creating community.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just as human beings and individuals, like we long for that connection, we long for that community. It's just hardwired in us from the beginning of probably like civilization. So I think you're doing a really good job without even realizing
thank you.
What you're doing. Yeah.
I mean, parents of young children can often feel really isolated, and so creating community is a really important part of mm-hmm. my vision for Little Leaps. It's not just about educating children. It's about creating a space where parents can connect with each other as well, because they're living similar lives and experiences, and they really need that safe place to come together that isn't online.
Yeah.
That is, you know, a real face-to-face experience that they can have with another adult who's going through it with them. So
yeah, I think it's African proverb Ubuntu who talks about the importance of community.
Yeah.
And I won't embarrass myself by trying to translate exactly what that is, but I do have it shared, saved as a note in my phone to constantly go back to, because you know community is important. So as a coach and a presenter, what advice would you give to other small business owners who are just starting out?
Oh, that's a hard one because, you know, you already know I can be long-winded, so I try to be succinct about it. What's the best thing? I mean, honestly, you know, my word, I pick a word for the year every year. So my word for this year was cultivate. And the reason I landed on that word was because I'm intentionally cultivating not just my business, but relationships and partnerships that we've already touched on in the community. So I think even if you lived in a town your whole life, or you're like me and you moved to a town and start a business without knowing anyone, relationships are the most important thing in your business. And really being intentional about finding those partners, those business-to-business partners, those community partners is so important. I think for me, in my experience, that has been the number one momentum builder for me, has been the partnerships that I've created in the community. So networking and meeting people and getting out there and volunteering. I mean, it just takes some time. Get out there into a organization that complements your business and your values, and see how you can support them. And then, like you mentioned when we were talking about Fit for Fun, it all comes back. It all comes back. Those partnerships will continue to grow and flourish as long as you continue to cultivate them.
Yeah, exactly right. How do you balance running your business with the personal development and the professional growth?
That's something I really struggled with over the last 20 years. I was not. In the first 10 years of my business owner life, I was not great at personal development. I was letting my business run me. And I had some really smart people open my eyes and say, first of all, I could do better in my business if I took some time to focus on it more and learn about areas like my financials and marketing and things that I was not paying attention to. And so once I really started realizing the value of that professional development piece of my business, and like how important it was to me, like I just felt better about myself. Like I actually know what I'm doing. I really made sure to make time for it. So actually a couple weeks from now to about 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be out of town, in Minnesota for a conference of dance studio owners. And I carve out that time. I will say to my families, we're not having class this week. You know, we're just taking, it's a week off, it's a break. And as I move forward into a more robust class schedule, I hope, where I have more classes and customers, I'm really committed to making sure that I plan that time intentionally as well. And I think that your customers will understand, because they're going to see the benefit of that I bring back from the refresh and the recharge and the new ideas and the great things that I bring back to the community.
Absolutely.
From that. So I just think you have to be intentional about it. Just make sure you find the time.
Yeah.
Make the time.
I find myself needing to do that a little bit more lately. I've fallen off the wagon, but it is extremely important. Usually, like towards the last 2 weeks of the end of the year is when I take my vacation, and it's kind of slow anyways because everybody's in holiday mode, and I take that as my time to kind of step back, recharge, rejuvenate, you know, and generally come back with a lot more energy, new ideas, which gets really exciting.
I think for me, like, I'm not good at just sitting on a beach and like reading a book, which is terrible. I love the beach. Don't get me wrong, but I can go for like an hour, but then like I have things to do.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, you have to really tell yourself to like, okay, whatever it is that recharges you, just like do that. So for me, it's being around a group of other dance studio owners and sharing our stories and sharing our triumphs and successes together. That really gets me going again. And it might seem like work to go to a conference, but for me, it's the best.
Yeah,
it's the best thing.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to throw you a curveball.
I didn't
mention this, but we have a segment that's become kind of a tradition, and it's called the Pay It Forward segment. So basically, I would like to know, what entrepreneur would you shout out, or small business owner, and why?
Oh, there's been so many people in this community who have been so generous to me. I think I would shout out Melissa Woodward of Diva Dance Port City. Having, you know, her allowing me to come in and use her space. I mean, yes, I rent it, but she's been very generous about this relationship, and it was a game changer for me. It was, I met her at the Business Expo, or the Wilma Show in December. I met her at the Wilma Show, just randomly at the booth, got her card, emailed her. We didn't actually really connect until like a month later. And, you know, she just said, here are the keys. Like, go in, do your thing. When we met in person and talked, but she just really trusted in me. And I know, as somebody who's had their own studio space, it's a lot to just let somebody into your house, basically, and trust them. And to have a real dance studio and not just be in a, and we were in church, you know, rec rooms, and which was lovely spaces to be in, but it just to have a real dance studio to hold my classes in really professionalized the atmosphere for me and for my clients. And I've been so thankful to how generous she's been. She just handed me the keys to her house and said, here you go, just when do you want to be there, just email me and just let me know when you're going to be in there. So that's been amazing, and I hope I can pay it forward to her in some way in the future. But check out Diva Dance Port City, ladies. They have awesome classes and it's super fun. So
perfect. Thank you. So thank you for tuning into this episode of the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. That concludes our show. A big thanks to Carrie Smith for sharing her valuable insights and experience with us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to rate us and leave a review, as it helps others find the show. Join our free community at the entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com for more resources, tips, and support. Carrie, if for anybody who's interested in more information, where can they find out information about Little Leaps?
Well, I haven't made that landing page yet, so they should go to littleleapskids.com, or they can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Little Leaps Kids.
Perfect. All right, thank you guys so much for joining us. That wraps up today's episode.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you. Hey, make sure you subscribe for more insights, and if you like this episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Join our free community at entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com and let's start building a great business together.